You are listening to the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, where it's all about education, support, and coaching for adults with ADHD. I'm your host, Zena, a late diagnosed ADHDer, here to help you unpack the challenges, frustrations, and the positive side of living with ADHD. With my no BS approach, I'll help you to better understand your unique ADHD brain and how you can work with it to feel better, increase your self-confidence, improve your relationships, and ultimately achieve your goals. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Navigating Adult ADHD podcast. Today it is pouring with rain here, so I hope you are nice and warm and dry wherever you are. New Zealand is going through the change of seasons and it feels like a storm has come into town today. So it's a good day for recording a podcast. And today we're going to be talking about an episode I have had many requests for, and that is one for our loved ones. Meaning this episode is for the partners, family, and friends of somebody who has ADHD. This episode is for them. We want to help them to understand us a little bit better, and we want to share with them some of the things that we would really like them to know about having ADHD, some things that we can often have a very hard time communicating. Now, of course, I recommend that the ADHDer listen, our regular listener, I recommend that you listen to this and that you make sure that you resonate with this episode and then you send it to your loved ones. I will remind you again at the end because, hi, we have challenges with our working memory and we tend to forget things like this. So this is the episode I would encourage you to send to your partner, to your family, your friends, perhaps even if you have a supportive boss or colleague who would like to learn more about what it means to live with ADHD. And even if you feel called to do so, you could share it on social media so that other people can understand what living with ADHD is like for you and for all of us with ADHD. So, to the people listening who are here to learn more about their ADHD human, thank you, first of all. Thank you for being here and thank you for taking the time to understand what it means to have ADHD and what it's really like for somebody who has it. There is so much stigma attached to the ADHD label, and most people have this image in their minds of what ADHD is and what it should look like. Many people often picture that little boy at school who can't sit still, disrupts everybody, and is always in trouble. Now, unfortunately, that image is, you know, not accurate, especially as adults, and it also leaves out a lot of very important details of the real life. What do I want to say? It is not an accurate representation of living with ADHD. It leaves out a lot of details, okay? So first of all, who am I and why should you listen to me? Well, my name is Zena and I live here in New Zealand. I was diagnosed with ADHD as an adult at age 36. However, I have had it my entire life. For the past 9 years, I have been working as a life coach, and the majority of people who have been attracted to my work were people who had various forms of neurodiversity. Now, neurodiversity basically means people who have a brain that is wired differently and works differently. So as ADHDers, we are neurodiverse. Other forms of neurodiversity you may have heard of include autism and also dyslexia. Now, because I was working with so many people who had ADHD and other forms of neurodiversity, I started learning lots more about it to be able to better support them. And lo and behold, I started to think, oh, wow, this is me. Hence, I went and got myself diagnosed. So I now work exclusively with adults who have ADHD, and I host this podcast that you are listening to. Since getting my own diagnosis, I have done extensive research on ADHD. I have learned from many incredible experts in the industry, and I have coached hundreds of adults who have ADHD. I also think I have a gift for taking some of the more difficult and complex elements of ADHD and making them more simple and easy to understand. And I hope that I can do that for you all today. As an ADHDer, we often have a real hard time asking for what we need or even understanding what it is that we need to be able to communicate it. But also, we can really struggle to communicate with you what is actually going on for us. Now, this is in large part because there is a lot of shame that we carry for not being able to do things like everyone else. Okay? Most people with ADHD have had so many negative, you know, feedbacks and criticisms throughout their lives, which has been really internalized, and they feel a lot of shame for not, you know, necessarily being able to keep up with other people or do things in the way in which other people do things that may seem very easy or very simple to others. There are studies that show a child with ADHD has heard 20,000 more criticisms than their peers by age 10. So it's no wonder that the ADHDer in your life can be really hard on themselves. And I can speak from experience in saying that we have really grown up thinking that there was something wrong with us. And we have always felt like we should be able to do things like everyone else. We should be able to do it without help. And we have felt so much shame for our failures and for our not measuring up. So often we try to hide it or we minimize the struggles, and we don't always ask for support when we need it. Okay? Now, with that being said, we really do want you to understand us and our differences, because we feel so much better about ourselves when we understand why we are the way we are, when our lives finally make sense. Many of the things that we have thought were wrong with us are actually really common signs and symptoms of having ADHD. My partner said to me, I talked to him about this episode, and he said, "You were really liberated when you got your ADHD diagnosis. That was when you really found yourself and you became so much happier within yourself." And that is what I want for your ADHD human as well. Now, a huge part of having ADHD, as I said, is we've always felt like there was something wrong with us. And like we could never measure up to those around us. We've had this internal struggle of never feeling good enough, and getting that diagnosis is when everything finally began to make sense. So we want to share some of that with you. In preparation for this episode, I spoke to many of my clients. I talked to my followers on both Instagram and Facebook, and I posted in some of the ADHD groups that I belong to as well, and asked, what is it that you want your loved ones to know about you as a human with ADHD? I also spoke to my neurotypical partner. And when I say neurotypical, that means a typical brain. So a person who is neurotypical has a typical brain, meaning they do not have ADHD or another form of neurodiversity. And he reminded me, when I spoke to him about it, he reminded me of a few things that he said way back when I first got the official diagnosis. And he said, "Do you grow out of it? Is this something that you have forever? Have you always had it?" So let's start there. No, adults with ADHD do not grow out of it. Is it something you will have forever? Yes, we will have ADHD for the rest of our lives. And in the majority of cases, we have already had it for our entire lives. And we've basically been living with a life on a very high difficulty setting. Now, ADHD is, in the majority of cases, hereditary. However, it can also come from CPTSD, which means complex post-traumatic stress disorder. So if we have had a traumatic event, a very stressful event in our lives, that can change the brain. Studies show this. You can do imaging on the brain that shows that it can change certain regions of the brain, which then brings about ADHD in somebody. So those are the two ways in which somebody gets ADHD. There are so many adults now getting diagnosed with it later in life because, unfortunately, we had that one narrow image of it being the little boy at school who can't sit still, disrupts everybody. It actually impacts women equally as much as men, boys equally as much as girls. However, The females with ADHD often present quite differently, with a hyperactive busy mind rather than a hyperactive busy body. Therefore, it can be a lot more challenging to spot. Now, when I did get the official diagnosis, I had one friend who said to me when I shared the news, which was still quite vulnerable, I told her about my ADHD diagnosis and she said, "I don't believe in ADHD. I don't even think that's real." And that is one of the things that your ADHD human really wants you to know, my friend. The first of the six things that we're going to go through today, number one, is your human wants you to know ADHD is a real thing. It is not just something that everyone struggles with. And when we tell you the symptoms that come along with ADHD and somebody says to us, "Well, I must be ADHD then," no, not necessarily. And that comment is quite dismissive and it can be very hurtful, okay? Even if you mean it with the best intentions. Many of the commonly known symptoms of ADHD, things like getting distracted, being forgetful, messy, running late, yes, those are things that everybody does, but not to the point at which it negatively impacts their quality of life. For example, everybody pees. Everybody goes to the toilet and they go pee. Okay. Now, if you were to pee 60 times per day, it would probably negatively impact your quality of life. It would probably mean that you should go and get checked out because something is not quite right. Something's going on. I still remember how hurt and invalidated I felt when my friend said that to me, when she said, "You know, I don't believe in ADHD," especially given, you know, how many of the struggles I was having at the time were not necessarily visible to her. They were internal struggles. And I want to create an image for you. Imagine if you had a really, really sore back, one where you really struggled to sleep, you couldn't get comfortable, and you know, you couldn't really bend over properly. Imagine you had that awful sore back, and I had a look at your back and I said to you, "You know what? I think you're fine. I can't see anything wrong with your back. I actually think you're okay. Like, you're probably just overreacting a little bit. I don't think it's as bad as it is. Sometimes I get a sore back. It's not that big of a deal." Like, just because I can't see that your back is sore doesn't mean it's not hurting. If we did that, like, you, somebody in that situation would be so upset or outraged even. That is what it looks to be invalidated. And that can have a really negative impact on that human who is sharing this difficult thing that they're trying to wrap their head around with you. Okay, it can be very hard and hurtful and painful when we get that response. Now, what you see on the outside nowhere near shows you the pain and difficulty that people with ADHD can experience on the inside. Trust me. ADHD is very real, okay? MRI imaging shows visible differences in our brains. It is a neurodevelopmental, It is a neurodevelopmental disorder. There we go, we got it. And what that means is it results in differences in our brain. These differences affect our ability to regulate our impulses, okay? We can be very impulsive, to regulate our attention, our emotions. It also impacts parts of our brain that help us to plan and organize and control ourselves and execute tasks. Now, I have got one research article which was really good, and I'm going to link to this in the show notes for you guys. And I'm just going to read one quick quote from that article. It says, "What may look like behavioral choices, laziness, sloppiness, and forgetfulness are due to differences in the brain structure of somebody with ADHD." So as I said, I did poll, you know, social media and different clients, etc. And I've got a couple of things that they wanted to share, and I'm going to read these out. One person said, "ADHD is a real thing. It's not due to poor parenting. It's actually hereditary. It runs in families." And that person is right. It is not due to poor parenting. It is a real thing. And as I said earlier, you know, it runs in families, it can skip generations, and it can also come from CPTSD. Somebody else said, "I've always been this way. It's only in the last year that I can label and identify what I do, how I think, etc. I've always had ADHD. I've just never known about it. And it's better now that I know, even if I don't shut up about it. I get that. I'm the same. It's better that I know about myself and I can approach my life with love and kindness. I'm not a crazy woman. I just have ADHD. My friends, ADHD is 100% real. It is not because we are lazy, and we definitely don't just need to try harder or get a better scheduling system. Our brains are actually wired differently. They work differently, and they experience difficulties in areas that may not make sense to you, or something that may seem really easy for you could be really, really hard and difficult for us. Okay? Most adults with ADHD, in fact, work incredibly hard to try and devise coping mechanisms and systems to compensate for their ADHD symptoms. Now, before we go on to number two, one thing that I really want to do, which is a struggle, is I want to make sure that you don't feel attacked as the loved one of an ADHDer, because we don't want that at all. And you're going to hear that a little bit later on as one of the things that they want to share with you. We don't want to attack you. We just want to share with you what it's like for us, and we love you. Okay. Number two, emotions are really hard for us to manage and control. Emotional regulation is one of the executive functions that is affected by ADHD, and this can be a very big one for the ADHDer in your life, okay? Your ADHD human may seem all over the place. They may seem moody, very all or nothing, easily frustrated, quick to get angry or shut down. This is because they, and when I say they, I mean me too, we struggle to process and regulate our emotions. That might mean that they are not able to be calm and react like you do, like a neurotypical person does. Now, they do not want to feel like an emotional roller coaster. This is one of the hardest parts of having ADHD, because we do know that it can negatively impact the relationships in our life. Communication can really suffer when there is an emotional trigger. Often we shut down. So here are a couple of things that the ADHDers have said. I cannot always control my moods, but I'm always sorry that you have to put up with it. I want to be able to listen and learn, but the RSD makes things very hard sometimes. So let me tell you what RSD is. RSD stands for rejection sensitivity dysphoria. And what that means is people with ADHD are often very sensitive to rejection, to criticism, and to failure. And often what we do is we filter things that you say or do through that lens of, am I being criticized? Am I being rejected? Or could I be? Or is this another failure that I have had? So what that could look like is when somebody texts us and we respond to them, and then we can tell that they've seen that message. You know, when that little face pops up and they've seen that message, but they don't reply. We might think, oh shit, I've done something wrong. I've said something wrong. I'm a terrible friend. You know, like that can really negatively impact us. Another way that this shows up, I get this quite a bit with clients, is when the boss says to you, hey, let's have a meeting at 3 p.m. We need to discuss some things. What does the person with ADHD do? They go, holy shit, I'm going to be fired. I've done something wrong. Oh my God. And they can't concentrate the rest of the day, because they think as soon as they've got that message without any context to it, they are in trouble, right? Our brain is so quick to look for ways in which we are or could be, you know, experiencing rejection or criticism or failure. A couple of other things your ADHDers want you to know. We have tantrums and we just need time to get past it. It's not personal. Don't need to feed into it or react to it. It's not about you. And we don't always want a solution. So I shared this one with my partner and I said, like, do you see me doing this in some way? Because I was really curious about this. I haven't really thought of it as like a tantrum as such. However, I do get that language and see that with clients. There used to be this TV ad on New Zealand television years ago where this toddler was in a supermarket and and maybe it's actually recent, I don't know. But anyway, the toddler was in a supermarket and it got down on the floor and it was like having a tantrum because its mum wouldn't buy it some chocolate or something. And anyway, so the adult got down on the floor and started having a tantrum, like lying on the ground, kicking and screaming, and the kid just got up and stared. Right? But sometimes what the reality is, we need to get out what's in us, right? What's inside of us, we need to get it out so that we can move on from that experience. So when I talked to my partner about this, he said, yeah, you do something similar in that you want to tell me things, you just want to get it all out of your head, and you don't want me to solve it or try and fix it for you. You just want to explain this everything and let me know what's going on. And sometimes you just want to be mad about it or you want to be upset, but you don't want me to try and fix it or give you a solution. And he's right. Sometimes one of the ways in which I regulate my emotions and process what's going on for me is I need to get it all out of me. And he's a safe place for me to do that. And I don't want him to solve it. I don't want him to try and fix it or make it better. I just want to get it out. Okay. So I can definitely relate to what this person has said. Another one is that when I'm spiraling or having an emotional outburst, it genuinely feels like I'll feel bad forever. And that when I calm down, I feel deeply embarrassed. So to speak to this, studies show that people with ADHD, we feel our emotions more intensely and deeply than others. So when it's bad, it's really bad, and we can't really see outside of that. However, when it's good, we're over the moon good. Everything is good. We have high highs and low lows. Okay. But when you're unable to, you know, control your emotions, regulate, soothe them, and process your emotions, when you don't have that ability built into your brain quite the same way, trust me, like we wish we did. Okay. The fact that our neurotypical friends and family do, that you guys do, we are sometimes very jealous of you having that, but please understand that it's not quite the same for us in our bodies and our brains. The third thing here is number three. It's not that we don't want to. It's usually that we can't or it has exceeded our current capacity. Okay. ADHD is not a disorder of knowing what to do. It is a disorder of doing what you know. That is a direct quote from Russell Barkley, and he is one of the incredible medical professionals in the field of ADHD, and he has a book called Taking Charge of Adult ADHD, which I highly recommend. However, that quote is so accurate. It's not a disorder of knowing what to do. We know what to do. It's a disorder of not being able to do what you know. People with ADHD struggle with self-regulation, okay? And that impairs our executive functions. And the executive functions in the brain, in the prefrontal cortex, they are the secret to successful adulting. So here's what that can look like. People with ADHD can find it difficult to tolerate waiting and be incredibly impatient. We may make decisions impulsively. I have done that. I brought a one-way ticket to London, to the other side of the world, with no savings in the bank, no job lined up, and a mortgage to pay back home. I can attest to that. We can make off-the-cuff comments to others. We can have difficulty stopping our activities or our behavior when we should. We may struggle to wait for a payoff. We often, you know, are very much about instant gratification. And we may put things off that don't seem immediately rewarding. We are likely to do things without considering the consequences of doing them. Again, this is because of our executive functions and our brains, you know, struggle to get everything to sort of work together and think through the consequences of actions. We may skip out on work or a meeting if it is boring. Go and find something more fun to do. We often look for and focus on things that are interesting and novel and fun to us, and things that are boring are very painful. We may start a project or a task without reading or listening to the instructions carefully. We can have a poor sense of time. So time blindness is something that people with ADHD struggle with. So if your ADHDer runs late, perhaps they forget to allow for driving time, or they think that they've just got one more thing that they've got time to do. It is not because they're selfish. It's not because they don't care about you. And it's not because they don't want to spend time with you. It is because their brain quite literally does not see and know time the same as you. Like, it's a very hard one to sometimes explain, but my brain does not comprehend time nearly the same as my partner does. Very different. We may also forget to do things we're supposed to do. Okay, this is a common one for people with ADHD, being very out of sight, out of mind. This can have a negative impact on our relationships when we forget important dates or birthdays, or, you know, you may have had a serious medical appointment and we had said, oh my gosh, let me know how it goes, and we want to check in, but we forget to check in. And it's not because we don't care. It's literally because our brain's post-it note has fallen off the wall and we have forgotten it. We can be unable to comprehend what we just read, and we may need to reread things. Verbal instructions can be a huge challenge for us. We may get frustrated and emotionally upset very easily. Be poorly organized, okay? Things in our life may seem like they're in a constant state of disarray in our house, in our work environment. Have trouble planning for meetings and setting goals or carrying out tasks, things that we've agreed to do for others. All of that, my friend, it's because your ADHD loved one has trouble with their executive functions, okay? Things like planning and organization, inhibition, working memory, emotional regulation, those are all impacted by having ADHD. We get less of the necessary chemicals going to power our executive functions. So dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin. We have less of those three things. And they are very important neurotransmitters in our brain that are necessary to get the executive functions to successfully adult. Because we have less of that, we have real troubles sometimes. Okay. It's also worth mentioning that ADHD is a spectrum disorder, meaning it, what somebody struggles with hugely, it might be like a 10 out of 10 struggle for them. Somebody else, it might be like a 1 out of 10 struggle. Every single person with ADHD is impacted and affected differently. Okay. A couple of things that your ADHD has wanted you to know is where we're at in our cycle will depend on how well we can cope. So for any of the females in your life, wherever their time of the month is at, there are certain hormones that drop. And when those hormone levels drop, it makes our ADHD symptoms even more difficult. They can really ramp up. So there may be 1 week out of the month, or even two different times at the month, depending on the hormones that impact us, that our ADHD is made even more difficult. You may notice that, yes, we're more emotional, which we already know about the menstrual cycle and how that can impact us, but it also means we're getting less power to those executive functions. So a lot of the adulting things that we would normally perhaps be able to do or manage can be even more difficult. Okay. Another ADHD has said this: doing our best looks different every day, but we are trying our best every day. I love that, and I 100% agree. Number four, our symptoms can frustrate us just as much as they frustrate you. ADHD loved ones, we know it's hard for you. We know sometimes it can be hard for you to be in a relationship with us. We know that we do things that are weird, or we may not do things at all. We may half do things. Trust me, we know that. We know that. We know it's hard for you. We know it's frustrating for you. But living with ADHD can sometimes be really, really hard. We wish we could do better and be better for you. Okay? All of the adulting things that you do every day with ease, those things can be really hard for us, or it can be really, really exhausting because it requires so much more focus and attention from us, which is kind of going in all these different directions, and we're having to try and channel it, and that can be so exhausting. And there are so many contradictions or paradoxes, really, of having ADHD that make no sense to you and sometimes make no sense to us. So, for example, we are often very empathetic and kind towards others, but we're very self-critical. We can sometimes be very impulsive and spontaneous and, you know, do things last minute. But when plans change last minute, when we had this idea or image in our head of what was happening, or we had no idea that, I'll give you a good example, actually. Just yesterday, my partner texted me and said, hey, I'm bringing this person round home in 5 minutes. He'd been out on a work thing and he had a work colleague in the car. And I just was like, what? What? You've given me 5 minutes notice. You're bringing someone around to our house. Our house is a mess. There's shit everywhere in the kitchen, all over the dining room table where you're going to try and work. Are you kidding me? I was horrified. I could not wrap my brain around it. Like, it wasn't just that the house was in a mess. It was that I didn't have time to mentally prepare for somebody else coming into our environment. I work from home. Like, I was working. I was like, what? So yes, we can be impulsive and spontaneous, but when plans change last minute, like, that can be very difficult for us. Another one is that sometimes if something doesn't interest us, we will struggle to start it. But if it does interest us, we may struggle to stop it. We can be very obsessive about things. There will be random shit from the past, songs from 20 odd years ago that we cannot forget. We know those lyrics, but we are going to forget why we walked into a room, what we were about to say. In the middle of saying it, we're going to forget. Okay. Other contradictions is we're going to feel rejected when you don't text us back, but we are going to forget to text you back. Or in the case of me, I often think I have text somebody back, but I go back in and the text is sitting there half written. We also crave stimulation. So sometimes when I am working on my laptop, I might have Netflix playing next to me, or I'll have music in my ears. I like to have lots of things going on sometimes. But at the same time, people with ADHD can easily become overstimulated or need time to wind down after a very stimulating situation. And this one here came from another ADHDer. They were so accurate. We often hate structure, but we function so much better with structure. ADHD experts also talk about that too. So my friends, we know it's not always easy for you. We know that you may at times not understand us or struggle to understand our behavior. And please know we appreciate your patience with us, your willingness to learn about, you know, how we're different and help us to work with those differences. A couple of things that your loved ones have said. My symptoms frustrate me just as much as they frustrate you. But for me, there's that extra layer of guilt and self-hatred. Oh. Another one, I do not do the things I do to piss you off. I felt that. I felt that one deeply. And lastly, I'm not ignoring you and I'm not deaf. I just can't process what you're saying to me when I'm fully focused on something else. I genuinely didn't hear you, even though you're right next to me. Oh, that one is so true. Like, when I have put my brain into focus mode and I'm right in the middle of something and then my partner tries to tell me something, I don't even know he spoke. Sometimes I don't even know that he's there because I'm really, like, I finally have got focus, which can be a really hard thing for us to get. Number 5, we don't believe ADHD is an excuse. Please know this, okay? We are not asking for a get out of jail free card. What's that? Monopoly. Yeah, we're not asking for that. When we say it's because of my ADHD, we're offering an explanation, not an excuse. It explains why we do things differently, why we might not remember something or half do something. It explains why we are the way we are. We know it's not an excuse. And we would love you to understand this and to, you know, decide that you'd like to help and support us with those challenges that come with having ADHD. Because with the right tools and support, your human with ADHD can thrive. They really can. And when I talk about tools and support, some of the ways that you could do that may be holding your ADHD loved one accountable. Deadlines are really good for us. Or helping us to break down steps of a bigger project into small chunks, and then helping us perhaps to even prioritize those chunks. Making boring things fun or interesting. Using challenges to get our brain on board. Helping us to find the humor in some of our quirks. And also giving us context to why you want to meet or talk. If you say, hey, let's have a talk after work, we're going to freak out. Or can you come around? We need to talk about something. Like, oh my God. You know, we are going to be really freaked out. If you can put context to that, like, hey, I really want to have a chat with you about this. Like, it would be really helpful if we could expand on that or we could talk about this. That is so helpful for us. And the 6th and final thing that your ADHD loved one really wants you to know, and I am going to say this to you all with so much love, okay? Less judgment and more normalizing of our quirks and the way in which we do things. I got this example, where was it? I want to say from How to ADHD. I think her name is Jessica McCabe. And she said, imagine you have a Mac computer, but you've been using the PC operating manual and things have not been working so well. That's what it's like when you get your ADHD diagnosis. That's what it's like to have an ADHD brain. Like, we've grown up in a neurotypical world. So we had the PC operating manual, except we had a Mac computer for a brain the whole time. Okay. With that being said, we know we do things weird and differently. Please let us do it our way. It does not always make sense to you. Sometimes it doesn't even make sense to us. But like, if it works for us and our operating system, like, please just let us do it that way. And while we know it can be incredibly, you know, frustrating for you, please be patient. And I see the irony in saying this, because as ADHDers, we can be so impatient, but your patience with us, just know it is so deeply appreciated. So many of your loved ones said that when you display patience and empathy, you know, and you don't judge us, like, that is just so appreciated and noticed. So let me give you a couple of examples of what this could look like. So in the evenings when I'm cooking dinner, this can be a real struggle for me. I can cook dinner, but if there's too much stimulation, like if the kids are in the lounge and they're being loud and naughty and fighting over things and turning the TV volume up and fighting over the beanbags and what they're going to watch, and then my partner tries to put the music on, and like, that can be too much for me. Sometimes I need to like go away and get a break. Or what I will do is I'll say to him, hey, can you please put your headphones in, and I'll put my headphones in, and then like, we can each have our own thing going on, and then he'll often help me out with dinner. Okay. So that can be a really difficult time for me. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll say, hey, after dinner, I'm just going to go straight upstairs so that I can like unwind from all of that additional stimulation and everything that's gone on throughout the day, because I kind of am like about to boil over. I know mornings can be really hard for many people with ADHD. I have one client and she has forgot her kids' lunches on multiple occasions. So they've arrived at school without lunch, or she's left the swimming togs behind and they've had swimming that day. And then she feels awful because she gets this call from the school. So now her husband helps her to make sure that these things are in the school bag before he leaves for work. So sometimes we can have a really hard time asking for help or even seeing where we could use some help. Now, I am very fortunate and so grateful that my partner often knows when I'm getting to that like about to boil over point, when I'm getting flustered or frustrated, and he'll say to me, how can I help you? Or what do you need right now? And I've gotten better because of that. I've gotten a lot better at now letting him know, hey, like, I've got this really busy day at work tomorrow. And he'll say, okay, can you send me a copy of your schedule? Is there anything I can do to help you throughout that day? So all of that to be said, all of that to sort of say, like, the judgment just makes it so much harder. And we know that you don't mean to hurt us, but when you can help to normalize our quirks and offer to support us and the way in which we choose to do things, like, that makes the world of difference to us. And sometimes we're going to sort of struggle to ask, okay? Thank you. The final thing I want to say, and that your ADHD wants to say, is thank you for being on this journey with us, with your ADHD loved one. Thank you so much for listening to this and learning more about what it is like to live with and have ADHD. We really do appreciate that. Know that it means so much to us. Okay. Sending you and your ADHD loved one so much love. Take care, my friends. I'll speak to you next week. If you are loving what you're learning here on the podcast, but you still feel like your ADHD is holding you back, I can help. Using evidence-based coaching tools and my own experiences, I'll help you to manage your emotions and feel better, to increase your productivity, grow your self-confidence, and create the life that you were meant for. Visit zenajones.com/thrive. And schedule an ADHD support session to get started.